Thank you very much, John. Here's the home pro, Maurice Cerrone from Ahenny Manshaven. We're transmitting in the Ahenny Manshaven radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. And John, welcome. I hope everything's going well, and happy Father's Day to you. And if you don't mind warming up this next mic over here, listening audience, I'd like to introduce to you our daughter that is with us again. She comes in about once a year with this program. So welcome very much, Teresa.
Thank you very much, Dad, and happy Father's Day to you and all the fathers listening.
Very good. I really appreciate that. She's a graduate of the Tucson school system, and she did attend college in New Mexico. So she's in from the Albuquerque area for the great visit with our family. So happy Father's Day to every one of the listening audience out there with your fathers, grandfathers, whatever stepfathers or whatever type of father you've used as your sponsorship throughout life. So, Ahenny Manshaven, we're situated in Tucson at 1724 South 6th Avenue, six blocks south of 22nd Street, the big yellow building on the west side of the street. Our phone number in Tucson is 520-624-7200. Our hours of operation are from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. It's a great time to come on down to the store. And for all of those of you that visited this past week, I thank you very much. And as we talked about various activities that have occurred on the radio program and shared those with me from that standpoint, I really appreciate being a great assistance to each of you with the questions that you have from that standpoint. Our Green Valley location is at 125 West Calle de las Tiendas, Suite 103. Or in the northern end of Green Valley, coming off of the Duval Mine Road exit. Our hours of operation are from 8:30 a.m. in the morning to 4:30 in the p.m., and the days are Monday through Friday, one day less than in Tucson. So come on down to visit us if that's more appealing to you in the transportation area of riding the great freeways up and down the city of or the metropolitan area of Tucson, heading south. I invite each of you today, if you so desire, to call in on behalf of Father's Day and let us know what you may have learned from your father concerning do-it-yourself activities, construction, remodeling, or any types of things that he has shared with you throughout your life that would be very informational to every one of us in the listening audience. So please give us a call at 520-790-2040. So some activities that have been continuing on at Ahenny Manshaven, the Independent Life Skills Department of one of our high schools in Tucson, we finalized the entire construction of the area, about 90 linear feet of cabinetry and other types of activities that they need, working along with our Rotary Club that I am a member of, which is the Old Pueblo Rotary Club, obtaining a grant from Rotary International, as well as a volunteer labor. I truly appreciate all that. The school system also thanks everybody who have participated and contributed to make it an absolute success. So along with the cabinetry that Ahenny Manshaven was responsible for, there was also brand new refrigerators supplied, washers and dryers were supplied, dishwashers, sink arrangements, stoves in that area to update it to the present activity level that they need to assist students who are learning about life skills, of which many of us are still learning at our high maturation level of life, as well as taking care of yourself, your health reasons, providing good sustenance for your body. They do have a food supply system there, as well as the washers and dryers and learning how to iron your clothes and be self-sufficient. Also, when it comes to managing some of your financial means from that standpoint. So one of the other activities that is continuing, we are promoting in developing medicine cabinets for anybody who would like to have a very professional-looking medicine cabinet of the same cabinetry that they have in their present home. From that standpoint, they have sliding mirrors arrangement, and we can do them up to 48 inches wide as an example. So not only would you have the mirror sitting in front of you like you would normally need, but you could have a tremendous amount of storage. So a four-foot-wide cabinet that's about a foot deep, as an example, would give you, and say 30 inches high, so 4 times 8, 32 times 2.5 feet gives you about 60 to 70 cubic feet of storage space where you can store who knows how many things that you may need in your personal bathroom. So keep that in mind from that standpoint, and we can provide that for you. One of the other activities that we work on continually now is providing new boxes for face frames of cabinets that when the boxes end up getting destroyed or developing excessive mold or algae as a result of a water leak that has come about, unfortunately, in many, many homes. We do work with many restoration companies in establishing this criteria for them in order to provide for a minimum of expense for either the homeowner or for the insurance company involved. So we can develop a brand new box behind any face frame. Many of the face frames, if they happen to get somewhat mangled during the remediation process, we can fix those up to a certain extent and get many systems back together. We can also provide for you a brand new boxes on your drawer systems. Not only do the doors and drawer fronts are part of the existence, but we do have the capability of maybe modifying those for you also and bringing your kitchen back up into pristine conditions that as you're working with your remediation company that can help you along that line. So again, remember the invitation to give us a phone call or at the studio at 520-790-2040 to share with us and the listening audience of anything that you may have learned from your fathers or your male figures in your life that has been a great program for you to continue on. Again, the phone number is 520-790-2040, and we're coming up on the end of our first break with John Couch, our production engineer, on AM 1030, The Voice, with our trusted local news and talk. Now, welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I am Maurice Cerrone from A Handyman's Haven, and we're transmitting today in the A Handyman's Haven radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. Again, happy Father's Day to everybody. For those new listeners that have just come on board, if anybody would like to give us a call, I truly appreciate it concerning activities with your fathers, especially in the do-it-yourself remodeling or construction field. That would be very interesting to everybody that's listening today. I'm going to talk a little bit now about concrete, custom concrete surfaces. As you know, you can do countertops in kitchens, bathrooms, or any place that you may need to have a countertop. You can provide seating areas in concrete on a special bench that you may have made for your home. You can provide windowsills, as an example, which would be an outstanding way of handling a lot of the windowsills that are in the various areas of where water can be associated with it, such as around the sink areas. There are many customers that we've worked with that have a windowsill that sets right almost even with the sink. And if anybody is splashing water around, I don't know why anybody would do that in a kitchen area when they're washing dishes or anything, or rinsing them out, that would happen. But providing a concrete windowsill would be one way of handling that situation in the various thicknesses that that may need. We can provide that with quartz or with one of the natural stones of that area, but maybe a nice gray concrete one would also be apropos, and it could be a lot less expensive in order to accomplish. In town, probably the best thing to look for would be a company that has a shop that can provide the concrete slab, as I'm going to call it, for whatever your needs may be, and they can do it in a shop and then bring it out to your home and install it. So there's other ways of protecting these things, but a lot of them will have a lot more seams involved and can be rather difficult. You can use, in the tested areas of the past, where people have used maple and many other hardwoods, such as oak or that nature, into the deep windowsills in many of our high-performance homes or even our just regular homes. Getting concrete is not difficult to acquire. From the years past, we used to have to buy cement and then go out and buy some sand and then buy some rock and mix it all together and then develop the concrete. Well, today you can go down to of the many hardware stores that are available or people that sell items like that, and you can buy concrete in a bag and then take it home and develop it accordingly. So that in itself will be extremely valuable in setting you up something to protect your windowsill. We've also done it with various compositions of laminate countertops, such as a Formica or Wilson Art, of that, which are the two major companies that provide that for us, and that in itself has proved very satisfactory, and to provide a good seal from that standpoint. With concrete itself, one of the tremendous advantages is that you could make it look like slate, as an example. You can make it look like quartz, or even have a leather surface. You can put coloring in concrete. There are special coloring powders available that you can change the color of it, you could swirl it, you could practice like they do in the quartz factories of developing some vein structures with the various colors and become very artistically involved in providing that. So custom concrete gives you an extremely durable as well as a visual versatile at a cost that could be much more affordable than doing quartz or natural stones. There are companies that provide that for you. Makes it a lot easier than going outside and mixing it in a 5-gallon bucket and then hauling that 5-gallon bucket in and then picking it up with a shovel or a trowel or something and putting it in position, smoothing it out, and hopefully you don't get it on anything else but where you want to put it. Seems invariably that there is dripping that takes place, and who knows where it may go from that standpoint. Yes, you could template it, which would be the smart way of doing it. Take it out to your shop or outside and then develop it accordingly. Remember that it has to cure before you move it in. If it's a wide span that you're doing in that case, such as a 48-inch or a 60-inch windowsill, you may want to put some a steel netting or rebar, not necessarily what's actually used in concrete foundations and things, but you can use chicken wire, you can use various other metal lattice type stuff, expandable steel and et cetera, that you may have hanging around, and that can give you the structural integrity that you need in order to put the windowsill in place, or if it happens to be a bench, you can develop the seating for the bench. So keep that in your mind. So instead of building a framework around, I'm going to take a windowsill again, but instead of building a framework around a windowsill that you're going to have to remove, then cast it out in your garage area or your backyard or on your back porch, and then when it's all cured and ready to go, you could bring it back into the house. So much about using a concrete in your home. That would be extremely exciting from your standpoint. I'd like to talk a little bit now about hot water heaters and tankless hot water heaters. With some of the new EPA standards, as well as the insulation standards that are required for the stand-up 30, 40-gallon hot water heaters, the diameter of those hot water heaters have increased in size. And I know in my present home that I live in that I cannot put in a brand new 30-gallon hot water heater like the home was designed for in the 1950s. So as a result of that, it may take a conversion to a tankless hot water heater system, which seems to be very appropriate these days in many cases. But there are some things that do need to be considered. It isn't preventative maintenance free, and you have to take care of that as well as you do the stand-up hot water heaters. So the 30-gallon hot water heater today that most of us may have in our homes, due to the increase in diameter, may not fit in the same spot that you have unless you rearrange the walls. But when you do get involved with tankless hot water heaters, one thing has to be considered. Do you have gas available in the area? Are you going to have the proper venting area, the proper venting area available? Are you going to have enough electricity? A tankless hot water heater is going to carry or require 240 volts, and that may mean you have to bring in another circuit. That may be a lot easier to do instead of bringing in a gas line in order to go to a gas type of situation. In my case, I'm very fortunate. I do have a central air conditioning system in the house where it is a gas pack, as an example, that the heating of the home requires gas. I do have electrical because the same room that the central unit is in for air conditioning happens to be where the washer and dryer, and it happens to be electric dryer, so I happen to have 240 situated there. My only problem is, like I mentioned earlier, I can't use the existing new 30-gallon hot water heaters that are available. So that may come about. But periodic maintenance on a tankless hot water heater is very, very important. Every 6 months to 2 years, the tankless, as we say, they do have a water tank in there that water passes through, has to be flushed out. And that means that all the sediment that develops as a result of the heating and of the hot water, as it settles out, will create some stoppage in your tankless system, and therefore you may reduce the water flow from that standpoint. So the best way to do it may only take about 45 minutes to accomplish it, but you do want to set up white vinegar, which would be a way of flushing it out. Obviously, you're going to need a drain system to outside the house or into the existing drain system that you may have in order to flush it out from that standpoint. When you get ready to install a new hot water heater or whichever type you're going to put in, the vertical tank or the low boy tank of a 10, 15-gallon type, try to develop a flushing system that so it could be easily done. Maybe pull the piping into a certain area where you can hook up a hose and take it to the outside in order to drain your hot water heater. So keep that in mind. And I'll just sort of mention that in the standard large upright hot water heaters, one way to extend the lifespan of those types of hot water heaters is to change out the anode tube. And you may have to get an experienced plumber to locate where the anode tube is in order to get it stained out, but it is a good do-it-yourself project from that standpoint. So you can go down and get an articulated anode tube, which is normally of a magnesium composition, and therefore it will reduce the rusting capability of the tanks and extend the lifespan of the tank. So lots of things on hot water heaters that many of us may overlook in various time periods. So keep that in mind when you're trying to withstand and like to have a long lifespan of many of your activities. We're getting ready for our second break. I think we'll take it a little bit early John, so if you could get ready for it, we'll move on. This is AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk, and we'll see you folks back after the break. Take it away, John. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I am Maurice with A Handyman's Haven, transmitting in our A Handyman's Haven radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. Happy Father's Day to all those ones that have just tuned in. I do invite each of you, if you so desire, to give us a call here today and let us know what you've learned from your father in the construction field, remodeling field, updating field, or whatever term you would like to use from that standpoint. Surely it would be very interesting to each and every one of us to hear about various activities that you may have learned. I know that one of them that I learned from my dad at a very young age was when he says, okay, you're going to provide a new roof for our home, and I'll help guide you through that. So from the informational time period of learning what needed to be accomplished in re-roofing a home to selecting contractors, to interviewing them, listening to what their proposals were, and knowing what we wanted as he was guiding me through that was a tremendous experience. And at that time period, I was a young teenager in high school, and I thought that was a tremendous responsibility that was laid upon my shoulders as we moved through that remodeling composition. I'd like to talk a little bit now about trends during remodeling. This happens to us quite frequently in interviewing customers that come into our store at 1724 South 6th Avenue in Tucson, Arizona. And everybody is worried about trends. They're concerned with colors and so on and so forth. And it can be rather extensive, to the extent that everybody would like to have a home that is trending. Well, as most of us know that have lived for a period of time, that the trends have totally changed. I know that when I purchased my first home, that all the walls were wallpapered with grass paper, and they were of a turquoise nature, and they looked like there was something out of the South Pacific in all the orientation of what the grass paper was, of a turquoise color. So needless to say, when I purchased a home in later years, after it was built, significant changes had took place because that wasn't so-called the trend that we want. So you have to be very, very careful with trends when it comes to colors and things of that nature. I know that we're faced with that, like I mentioned earlier, continuously throughout the day and the weeks, as people today want white cabinets or they want gray cabinets and they want granites and so on and so forth. And when it comes time to working with them within their budget, it does get to be rather difficult. So a white grout is one of the trends that do occurs, that is rather interesting from that standpoint. Grout, to start off with, supports the durability of tile, and that closes up the gap between tiles, regardless of whether it's on the bathroom floors, whether it's on the kitchen floors, or whether it's in any high traffic areas such as the hallways, or it's on the kitchen countertops or on the bathroom countertops, and it's always highly impregnated with water, as we think we can wash all these things down and protect everything that goes around. Well, if you have a concrete floor, as an example, the tile is going to set on concrete, but the grout is going to be porous. So if you're going to wash it with a wet mop type system, you're going to impregnate the grout line with water because it's very porous, even though I don't know of anybody that really seals the grout in the flooring. Contrary to that, on countertops, they may seal the grout, but to think about sealing all these little lines, perpendicular lines that run throughout the tile countertop, one of the interesting facets associated with it is that as the homes expand, up to 20 times a day due to the heat and relative humidity changes throughout the home. The grout lines are going to crack up against the tiles, and therefore you're going to have an excellent place for the water to drift down through there, whatever it may happen to be. You can use, as an example, the grouts in order to define a design that you may want to accomplish. You can use colored grouts. That's readily available also. However, just remember that the grout line itself, as far as the trend goes, if you utilize that, the water is going to impregnate it and cause you some problems. So just be careful with the trends that are available. And if you do plan on living in your home for a period of time, you may want to think about something that you're going to be enjoyable in working with, that you'll be able to love the presentation of, and it's going to be easy for you to maintain. Let's talk a little bit about traditional receptacles, as this article is saying. There's a lot of technology available today, and you may want to increase your receptacles that are available. And I know that you could buy several lamps today that not only have a receptacle in it, like many hotel rooms do. The lamp has a receptacle for plugging in electricity, and they also have USB receptacles that are available. So that could be something that you may want to think about. And if they are portable in nature, then when you get ready to leave the present home that you're in, then you can take them with you. And especially if you happen to be in a rental, that you're not going to do any major modifications for rentals from that standpoint. So there are a lot of wireless things available. This does seem to be the trend. Think about taking them on your trips when you go with you, especially the chargers, which may not be available in the homes, as far as the hotel rooms, as far as renting. Same thing with Airbnbs. Those things may not be available when you check in. It would be sort of a disaster if you have to go out in the middle of a rainstorm, as an example, to plug it into the rental car that you have, if you happen to have a charging system that will work in the power receptacles in automobiles. Outdated lighting. That's another thing that is very trendy. And if you put it in 1 year and you're there 6, 7, 8, 10 years later, maybe the same lighting is not going to be enjoyable for you. So again, be very, very careful with trends. They can cause you a lot of difficulty. So if you do pick something again that's going to be very enjoyable for you, that's going to be a common thread through our discussion today, keep that in mind and something that's going to be very enjoyable. Elegant chandeliers or pendants, so to speak, they do add a very touch of femininity in various occasions. Pendant lighting also can be very important and attractive. It differentiates spaces, as an example. That seems to be a well-sustained type operation. We do have some of that on display at the store, and everybody asks us, not everybody, but most people ask us when they come in, where did we get these pendant lightings and the type of lighting system we have? So they happen to come from some lighting on 4545 East Broadway, and an excellent place to go for your lighting in order to assist you in some of the items that may be. Be careful with the trends that they aren't too exotic. Unfortunately, what may happen, it may be a difficult environment for you to sell your home as a result of some of these items, because the people that may want to purchase it do not want to expense out a large type of money in order to change everything around. Cabinets everywhere. Let's think about that. And, of course, A. Andy Manshaven especially is in cabinet design. Not necessarily actually the design of the cabinetry, even though we do modify cabinets extensively, but we can do a lot with the wood cabinets that are available. If you get involved with foil cabinets or melamine-type cabinets, there's only limited modifications that can occur. Most of them with organizational inserts of some capacity that could be added to your cabinetry from that standpoint. So open spaces are utilized quite regularly today. I remember we worked with a project of 21 units as an example, when they had many, many glass shelves throughout the kitchen areas as to put all the displays. Instead of using cabinets, they actually used glass shelving, and that made it a very, very attractive presentation from that standpoint. So they also provide breaks and change of the monotony of many, many footages of cabinetry that may require. This also gives you a great display to display some of the items that you may have acquired. I know this morning that when we were at breakfast, the friends that we were associated with, they received, the husband, the father, received many mugs. And I can tell you from being a scouter in our case that acquiring mugs on places that you had went throughout your activities is something I've got many, many of them. And this individual had the same type of thing. He says, now I got to figure out where to put these new mugs I have. We have our production engineer today that also produces mugs. And John did show us today some of the fantastic mugs that him and his wife produce. And if you are interested in that, you can give him a call and he can help you set up, and you can bypass talking to me while you're on the radio show today. Another thing that you may want to have some open shelvetry for is displaying cookbooks. We do get a lot of requests for areas that where people can put their cookbooks. I know that we have almost a whole cabinet that's about 30 inches wide and 42 inches tall. It's nothing but filled with cookbooks. The tremendous advantage that we have, we don't have to open the cabinets to see what's in it. We can read the titles because we have glass doors on our cabinetry, and that makes it very attractive from that standpoint. Stainless steel appliances. This article is rather interesting when we talk about trends. It indicates flat out, right at the beginning sentence, stainless steel is out. And yet many people are buying stainless steel today. But they're looking for designer versions of stainless steel, and that happens to be stainless steel that has been developed and have been blackened in nature. So you can get gray stainless steel, black stainless steel, but black seems to be out today more than anything else. And black stainless steel is smudge and fingerprint proof. And I thought that was rather interesting. So what it's indicating is that the fingerprints that you may put on it when you're getting in and out of your refrigerator from cooking or preparation of food, as well as any smudges that may occur, are not likely going to be seen. So this gives it a tremendous advantage, and it's also much warmer in look and appearance, and it's less the industrial look. Of course, if you're looking for the industrial look in your home, then rusticness and industrial type things are going to be available. This may change your shelving structure. You can buy many shelving at various locations throughout town, and you can actually hang the shelving on the wall, even though it's stainless steel. It may be chrome, and give a totally different look from that standpoint. So keep that in mind when you're working on things of that nature. Your outlet and switch plates, that's also a common thing. You may want to look at some designer versions. Sure, having a hard time pronouncing some of the words today. But anyway, contrasting the finishes that so you can identify them. A lot of times we get involved with monochromatic looks and have everything blend in, and nobody can tell where anything is when you come to your home. So be creative. Think outside of the box or the sphere is one of the things we use. Resist the urge to go with traditional or safe options. You can be rather exotic from that nature, and that may be very, very important from that standpoint. Original, thoughtful, and functional is the best thing that you can do for your spaces in your own personal home, since guess who's living there, folks? It's going to be you. Who's going to see it on a daily basis? And that's going to be you. When you bring your guests over for entertainment, very rarely will anybody say anything about how awful it looks. And whether they say anything about how good it looks, that may be an asset to you also. So anyway, we've completed our third segment. We're well on our way to finish the program today. And we're on AM 1030, The Voice, with trusted local news and talk from the A. Handyman's Haven radio studio. And we'll see you after the break. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I'm Maurice Cerrone from A. Handyman's Haven. We're transmitting in the A. Handyman's Haven radio studio today on AM 1030, The Voice, with trusted local news and talk. It's rather interesting. I got a text in from our son. I don't know whether he's listening or why it would have to be apropos today that he is writing in, asking some various questions about activities that took place in our home in Tucson, Arizona. And one of them that he asked, which is sort of interesting, on the home projects, was when was the pantry built in our home? Well, after buying the house, I realized there was no pantry in the house itself. However, since the family room had been a carport at one time period, which has a characteristic shed in the carport, of course, after they closed it in, it just became a dead airspace room, so to speak. And with that in mind, I thought this would be an excellent place to have a pantry. So who ever heard of a pantry in a family room? Well, you got to visit the Cerrone residence if you want to see a pantry in the family room from that standpoint. But there was no other place. As far as the kitchen goes, it was a double galley kitchen. And that in itself was a good place to store the food. We were able to put an additional refrigerator in there since we had four children. And needless to say, there was a lot of food that needed to be storage at various areas throughout the home. My wife and I, we would buy food that would last for a week. And when you are feeding a family of six, it, as everybody knows, it does take quite a bit of food. One of the interesting phases of it was cereal. We used to go through at least one large box of cereal per day with all the children eating various things. In fact, they even consider that to be their delectable snack. So it took about a couple of weeks or so, maybe 5 or 10 days to build a pantry, put the shelving in. I did establish a rolling shelves on one side so you can put the cans in, slide them up, and then as you pulled one out, they slid back down into position so you did not have to go look and see what was available. Everything was lined up accordingly. The other thing that we built, the dining room for the kitchen, originally was in the living room. And, of course, I'd never seen the dining room in the living room. It was like a separate room. It wasn't an open, great room type concept, which a lot of rooms are built today. So I ended up extending out to the eave a decagon, or a section of a decagon, so to speak, and built in what we call benches. And underneath the benches, I put storage areas underneath the benches that we sat on. It gave us a tremendous amount of more storage for large pots and pans or things that were used on certain occasions. That in itself did take a period of time in order to build it out originally and then end up caving in the existing wall structure that so we could have a closed-up space. That took several months to accomplish and get that built in. The benching, we did have cushions made by upholsterers in town, and then it came to be, where am I going to get a table that's going to fit this portion of a decagon? So at the time period, I was flying to Honolulu, and I learned about the koa wood. That's K-O-A type of wood. Needless to say, it was very difficult to obtain, but I did find out that Formica at the time period, this was in the 1970s, was able to have koa wood available in their Formica scheme of things. I was able to obtain a local manufacturer in town of countertops who made the countertop for a decagon-type table. I put the table on rollers and so it could move in and out. It had a leaf structure on it so we could seat 10 to 12 people around the table along with the things. That took several months to build, maybe 3 or 4 months, in order to get that accomplished. So lots of activity going on when you buy a brand new house and you're trying to fix it up from that standpoint to provide the means of working with 6 people in a home. Lots of fun, a lot of experience, a lot of time and activity associated with that. Happy Father's Day to everybody that is listening. For those who may have just tuned in, I appreciate that very much. If you'd like to give us a call in the few minutes we have remaining about any activities that you've been accomplishing in your home, it would be enjoyable to hear it, especially if your father was the overall supervisor of those. So I'd like to mention a little bit about IRS and their updated Opportunity Zone regulations. This in itself is more important for investors because it has to do with the proposed regulations that are setting out there that could be instituted at any time, as we know. So the Treasury Department and the IRS released a set of proposed regulations relating to the new Opportunity Zone tax investments or zone tax incentives. And I was not familiar with this at all, so this was very interesting. There are many questions that can be answered with various key points included in both set of the draft regulations. This was established as part of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017 that many of us have been associated with as a result of the change of the political scenery in Washington, D.C. Reading from some of the information, these are an opportunity zones that provide tax incentives for investors with capital gains to invest. So this is associated with the capital gains that people may be obtaining, and they do not particularly want to take the capital gains, but they want to invest it, and this apparently is a means of investing the capital gains they're setting there, utilizing and putting the money to greater work. And it looks like that the IRS and the Department of Treasury have found a way that they could change some of the tax laws to assist investors in this type of program. So with that in mind, the investors with capital gains to invest in underserved areas affected by poverty and unemployment. Needless to say, in Tucson and southern Arizona, we have several areas that are like that, as well as every state throughout the United States. There are more than 8,700 zones that have been established, which approximately it's 11% of all census tracts in the United States. And they have been established to identify for investors and the federal government that are working to coordinate how the federal initiatives that are going to work with the Opportunity Zone program, as it's called. You can surely go online and research this if you are an investor or you're thinking about being an investor, especially if you have a large amount of capital gains that are you'll be going to be confronted with here shortly in the future. So the unforeseen construction delays that could imperil the capital safe harbor, many comments in a late 2018 proposal of regulations addresses these delays also. This particularly permitting such delays, they may extend a project's completion beyond the 31 months allowed, which is a significant period of time, under the proposed Capital Safe Harbor. The April draft regulations clarify that the safe harbor is not violated by the delay and attributed to waiting for the governmental action. As we know today, the governmental action seems to be moving at a snail's pace in many directions that we need as a resident of the United States, and they seem to be taken in what may appear to be an inappropriate direction and slowing down the entire process. So to maximize the tax benefits, investors must keep their capital invested for a period of 5, 7, or 10 years, depending upon the program they're getting involved with. So this could be very, very important. There's many maps available. It's important for anybody who has an investment that they would like to utilize their capital gains and maximize it to the best possible way. So keep that in mind. We're coming to the end of our program. We have a few seconds left, and I appreciate each and every one of you that have come down to the store. Again, happy Father's Day to everybody, and hope that you have a very pleasant time enjoying your family and any activities that you may have planned throughout this past week, this weekend, and the upcoming days ahead of us. Again, I appreciate discussing with you today, and have a very pleasant time. And John, happy Father's Day to you again. And we see Jeff Prather sitting over there of the Prather Point. And happy Father's Day to Jeff.